Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the Bottom Line Sports Show, with great guests and great lives all call home. Now, from the Man Cave Studios in New Jersey, here are your hosts of the Bottom Line Sports Show.
So good to be back on air, Tuesday night edition of the Bottom Line Sports Show. Good evening, everybody. Gerald Brown, flying solo momentarily, upcoming Eddie Murphy will be on the line with us. Jam-packed show. Jam-packed. Did I say jam-packed? Jam-packed, jam-packed. Just to give you an idea, let's run down it. We're going to talk NCAA Final Four talk. We're also going to really just look back on the Elite Eight and the Sweet 16 and the tournament as a whole thus far. We'll then talk with DraftTech.com's Cole Muzio, great friend to the show. We'll get his thoughts on his top 10, the quarterbacks that's in this draft, and the defensive linemen. We'll talk with him about 9:05, 9:10. After that, we'll have on about 9:00, I think we're going to go 9, is it 9:20? 9:25. We'll go ahead and get ready for Vashti Hurd. Give us the 411 with the interview. We'll have on, I take that back, Rayshon Scott, young man out of the University of Miami, because we're closing in on the NFL draft. Guys are having their pro days. Schools are going, that stuff is going on right now. So, you know, believe it or not, it's April. It's April, so we'll have on Rayshon Scott, wide receiver from the U, will be on the air with us, and we'll get his thoughts and opinions on the NFL journey, as we always do, as Eddie Murphy is so gracious to join us tonight. Murph? Murph?
What's going on, Gerald? Or should I say the number one most wanted man, San Antonio?
Leave that alone, my friend. I'm just running down. We got a jam-packed show, and I think we're gonna be a little. We got a jam-packed show. So as I mentioned, DraftTech.com's Cole Muzio will talk. We'll get his thoughts and opinions on the upcoming NFL draft and how it's shaking out right now. Rayshon Scott, wide receiver for the University of Miami, will be on with us at about 9:30, 9:40, 9:45. We'll have on. Brandon Dowdy, quarterback for Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, will be talking with him, as well as after that we'll have Vashti Hurd. Give us a 411 on the upcoming Final Four, CarolinaBlitz.com. MLB extraordinaire Ricky Keeler will wrap the show up for us as we, believe it or not, we're getting ready for opening day this upcoming weekend. And I think it's a great idea by Major League Baseball to really have opening day split up. Instead of having one single game, they're going to have games Sunday as well as Monday. 347-324-5839, 347-324-5839. Murph, it's always a pleasure, man. It feels like it's been a long time, too long, that we haven't had a chance to chit-chat.
It's been way too long. My hiatus going out to the West Coast for a bit, and then you needed a day off, too, so it's good to finally be back, and it's a good time to be back. You have so much going on right now with spring training wrapping up and opening day soon. You got the NFL and NHL coming down to the wire, and then you have, obviously, the Final Four and NFL draft, which we love and we're obsessed with, so it's a pretty fun time for us. We're out of the dog days of February, so it's good to be at the end of March.
Yeah, it's been a great time of the year, Murph, and, you know, so much. I know I might have gotten it off, but it's so many people that's on tonight, and it's only right because we're also going to get into a little talk and remember a great friend of ours and a family member, Fife Dog, and it's nights like this that, you know what, you would want to have them on and feel like yelling and stuff like that, but still in all, 347-324-5839. I switched things up. Okay, just stay with us. Right now, CarolinaBlitz.com's Vashti Hurd family member joining us right now here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Vashti Hurd.
Hey, Gerald. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. I got the great Eddie Murphy with us. Not that Eddie Murphy, but the great Eddie Murphy with us as well.
Hi, Eddie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, let's get into it, Vashti. We have a Final Four. You got some teams that you kind of expected that might be there, but you also have some teams you didn't expect to be there. Your thoughts on really, obviously, the matchups this weekend and the Final Four. Can we expect that perhaps we might see some blowouts?
I mean, I think that it's so unpredictable with these two teams. We know that Oklahoma blew out Villanova earlier this year by over 20 points. and the Tar Heels handled Syracuse easily. They won their both of their regular season matchups. Yeah, there could be two blowouts, but then again, you know, Villanova's defense has been playing really well. We'll see how they match up with Oklahoma, if they can stop Buddy Hield. Syracuse, we all know about their zone. I wouldn't be surprised if there were blowouts this weekend, but I would never be the one to sleep on. I'm not convinced with Villanova. I think that Oklahoma will probably win pretty easily. But I think that Syracuse-North Carolina matchup is going to be a lot closer than people think. It's hard to beat a team three times in a season. And with a Hall of Fame coach like Boeheim, I can't count them out.
Good point.
I had a quick question with Syracuse. Number four, I don't know if you like Syracuse and are going in. Do you think they belonged in this tournament to begin with?
You know, they were a controversial pick to make the round of 64 in the first place. I think so. I think that, you know, we have the two things that I think that, you know, we should remember. Number one, basketball is a business, and Syracuse, you know, has a long-standing basketball tradition, and you know, they like those teams that people that name recognition and people can watch and they know about Syracuse, number one. And number two, the ACC is the best conference in basketball. I think that this tournament with setting a record with teams in the Sweet 16, they have two of the four teams in the Final Four from the ACC. I mean, I think that that answers the question, hands down, about the best league in college basketball. So I think that Syracuse playing the way that they did in the ACC, they did decently. I think they did deserve a spot. And I think that they're vindicated by the fact that even though they had a pretty easy road, despite, you know, Virginia, you know, they should feel vindicated by the fact that they've made the Final Four.
So a quick follow-up with that. So do you believe that they're playing like this with a chip on their shoulder, or do you think the team was actually just that good and maybe the nine-game stretch that Jim Boeheim hurt them?
Definitely chip on the shoulder. And it's crazy because I was talking to someone about Michigan State. And if you look at the two teams, they kind of switched roles. Michigan State, when they went to the Final Four a couple of years ago, I think, what were they, a seven seed? Six or seven seed, they played with that same us against the world chip on their shoulder. You know, nobody believes in us, but we believe in ourselves. And that is a great motivator for teams, not just in college basketball, but across the board. And I think that, you know, when you have that extra motivation, nobody believes in us, so we're going to go out and play our best. And then, honestly, they don't have the pressure on them that, let's say, a North Carolina has on them or even a Virginia had. We saw that epic meltdown that they went through in order to lose to Syracuse. There's something about not having the pressure and then playing with a chip on your shoulder that makes you a very dangerous team. That's why I said I think that that game will be closer than most people think.
Vass Ty Hurt joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, CarolinaBlitz.com. Vass Ty, I want to switch gears momentarily and just obviously talk about the whole brouhaha that's been transpiring with, you know, the women's UConn women's basketball team and a lot of people saying that they're hurting women's college basketball. Yes, there hasn't been anybody that can compete with them. But what are your thoughts on that? And is it right for them to be blamed or Gino Auriemma to be blamed for such an effective job he does recruiting and bringing in top-notch talent?
Well, you know, when you are the best of the best, then it's pretty much an easier sell for you to get that top-notch talent. If I can say, okay, you're the best player in the country, and if you come on our team, we're the best team, and you're going to go to a Final Four, and you're going to win a championship, just look at our record, I'm going to sign with that team. It does make it difficult for other women's basketball squads, and I understand the argument, but it's just somebody else. You can't blame that UConn program for being good. It's like, you know, you can't do that. Somebody is going to have to step up and challenge them. And I actually thought South Carolina was going to be able to do that. And they, you know, they, but when they played UConn head to head, it just, it was, they played them close at first, but it ended up being a blowout. I just don't see that reign ending anytime soon. Should the NCAA step in and do something? I mean, what would they do? I mean, there's really nothing you can do. Just hope that another team comes along and is able to defeat Goliath.
Now, throwing a lot here at you, I have a quick question with University of North Carolina. Mike Bray said something a couple of days back before Notre Dame played them and said that when they played Kentucky's team last year, of that all-star team, a freshman team, he said this Tar Heel team is way more intimidating because they're men. Do you agree with that statement? Do you think this team is scarier to face than, like, maybe, you know, all those, a team with, like, top five draft picks is loaded up?
I think that, you know, experience and time on a squad, which gives you the ability to gel, the ability to not panic in certain situations, you know, I think that that helps teams, and I think we see that in North Carolina. We also see that when you have mid-majors upset squads that have, you know, two, three, or four NBA draft picks on them. So, you know, I think that that means something, and I think that that's helped out North Carolina. But, you know, they're also a talented team. They seem to have really matured, I would say, toward the end of the regular season and headed into tournament play. They've cleaned up their inconsistencies, even though they relinquished some leads in the second half, but they've learned how to win the games, where I think that before they weren't winning those games when teams would rally back and come back on them. You know, it shows that having the one and done isn't always the perfect solution. And I think, you know, it's in this world, it's hard to find a balance where you want to get the best recruits, but you also want guys to mature and grow with your program. And so Roy Williams has that right now. Not sure how they're going to be next year. I'm still waiting on those sanctions to come down. I miss Fife because, you know, it's crazy. Last time I was on the show, he and I were going back and forth about North Carolina. I'm just still really mind blown on that. So, but yeah, I think that the age, I think that the maturity that comes with those players who are able to stay and matriculate through the program for 4 years, that helps them out.
Vashti, before we let you go, 30 seconds or less, give us who the final four picks to win and who you have facing off in the championship game Monday, who wins.
All right, I'm gonna go with North Carolina and Oklahoma. I think Villanova will probably, for some reason, I don't trust Villanova, and I've been saying this, and this year they've proven me wrong, but I still, my gut tells me not to trust Villanova. I think that North Carolina and Syracuse could be an overtime game. I wouldn't be surprised if Syracuse upset North Carolina, but I have to go with common sense here and pick the Tar Heels. I would say Oklahoma, UNC, and that UNC North Carolina is going to be, if they do play, that would be a heck of a game. I think Buddy Hield will give it his all. But as much as it pains me to say, if I'd have to pick North Carolina to win it all.
Well, in honor of Fife, you know what? That's not a bad choice at all. Listen, Vashti, I always appreciate you. And you know what? I want to say personally, you know what? Calling you last minute and making yourself available, you've always done that, and you're a true professional. And that's why I always really appreciate you and value your friendship. And I thank you so much also for reaching out to me to offer condolences on the passing of Fife last week. And you know, I really, really appreciate that and definitely appreciate you coming on tonight. And I look forward to talking to you real soon.
Thanks for having me, Gerald. RIP Fife.
Absolutely. Vastar Hurry, CarolinaBlitz.com. Always great to have her on. And switching gears, and, you know, we're going to obviously pay homage to Fife, you know, but we're going to switch gears because I know it's just hot and heavy tonight. Like I said, we've got the University, Rayshon Scott and Brandon Dowdy from Journey to the NFL segment that we have upcoming. But we're talking NFL draft, and a gentleman, I'm so excited to have him back on because this gentleman has always made himself available to come on with us and give us the latest and the greatest. DraftTech.com's Cole Muzio joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Cole!
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, Cole. Gerald and Eddie Murphy, great to talk to you, my friend. Long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Good to be back on. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Now, Cole, we're getting down to the point right now where you're having guys basically have their, you know, their pro days. I think Jalen Ramsey pretty much today spoke about the fact that he wants the Tennessee Titans to know that he is the number one player in this draft, and basically he should be the first pick overall. As an overall looking at this draft, talk about really your top 10 right now as it stands with the pro days going on and the scouting combine behind us.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, Jalen Ramsey's got an argument. You know, he's definitely one of the best players in the draft. And I don't know that the Titans are going to take him number one, but he definitely is a guy that I would peg as maybe the most likely Hall of Famer in the draft. So, you know, very interesting that you bring him up. But, you know, if I'm going, you know, top 10 and how I think it's going to play out, you know, the Tennessee Titans, you know, they took a, you know, franchise quarterback last year. And when you take a franchise quarterback, you got to give him a gift. And you know, it's not a great draft up at the top, but I think they'll go with Laremy Tunsil, the tackle out of Ole Miss. And then you get to the second pick with the Browns, Carson Wentz, who I feel really bad for the guy. He's going to a team that has nothing if the Browns pick him. So you're talking about a guy that's being set up to fail. But he's a good quarterback, and he's got a lot of talent, so maybe he can turn things around in Cleveland. I got Jalen Ramsey going number three to the Chargers. Again, though, I think he may be the best player in the draft up there with Joey Bosa, who I have going number four to the Cowboys. There's some chatter that maybe they aren't in love with him, but, you know, I'm not buying it at this point. I think they maybe take him at number four. At number five to the Jags, I've got DeForest Buckner out of Oregon, a big defensive lineman. He's just a huge human being, 6'7", 291 pounds. I could see them going with Miles Jack there as well, the outside linebacker out of UCLA, who I don't have going in this top 10, but I've got a really hard time seeing him not in the top 10 come late April. So we'll see where he ends up. But number six for the Ravens, I've got them doing something a little bit outside the box, maybe taking a splash pick with Ezekiel Elliott. Last time they were up this high, they took Jamal Lewis, and that turned out pretty well for them. So I've got them taking Ezekiel Elliott out of Ohio State, number six. Number seven for the 49ers, I've got them going Jared Goff out of Cal. You know, obviously up there with Carson Wentz and the quarterback discussion, I think he's definitely the number two guy at this point. And would give Chip Kelly a fresh start with San Francisco. Number eight to the Eagles, I've got Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, who I think is I would probably grade a little bit higher than Laremy Tunsil. He's an athletic specimen and a guy that I think could really be a good player. Your Tampa Bay Bucks at number nine, I've got them going high risk, high reward with Noah Spence at defensive end.
Oh, you're killing me. Cole, you're killing me. I need Vernon Hargraves. I need the quarterback. I don't need Noah Spence. I don't need another William Golston. I don't need that. Oh, you're killing me. Oh, you Cole, you're killing me. I got a love for you, Cole. Oh, you're killing me, Cole. You're killing me.
Oh, poor Noah Spence, if he's listening now. I think he's a guy that, you know, could certainly disappoint, but he's a guy that could make a lot of Bucs fans happy if you're trying to rebuild that defense, make it really special. I think he's a guy that can get the quarterback. So, sorry to I'll change it. Vernon Hargreaves, we'll go ahead. And then at number 10, Shaq Lawson, double-digit sack guy out of Clemson, going to the New York Giants. So, you know, that's my top ten. Again, Miles Jack's a guy that I think could fit in there somewhere. And you mentioned Vernon Hargreaves. It's tough to see him out of there. He's not particularly tall, and that's going to hurt him in today's NFL, but he's a guy that could be in there as well.
Now, just a follow-up question, Murph. Let me just ask him, because, again, he talked about my Buccaneers, but I'm curious, would you say that the only thing that's pretty much holding back Vernon Hargreaves is perhaps the questionable height, or, you know, is his game tape not enough that warrant a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not taking him? Because, I mean, I'll be honest, I was a little concerned when they took Brent Grimes, and I understand mm-hmm. that obviously perhaps they might move in a different direction, but I don't know, Noah Spence, it just screams, you know, suspension and all that other stuff. But what is it basically your take that you feel that obviously the height situation is probably the biggest thing that's holding Hargreaves back from being there at nine or being taken by the Bucs?
Yeah, the height's a big concern, and it's a concern for McKenzie Alexander out of Clemson itself. You know, both those guys were shut down corners in college, and, you know, they may have actually done done too well. You know, they didn't get a whole lot of balls thrown in their direction. And so they're a little bit short, and, you know, they didn't have a whole lot of chance to show, you know, their ball-hawking, you know, capability because other quarterbacks avoided them. So that may actually, you know, their actual play on the college, you know, field, you know, may hurt the, you know, the tape a little bit. But, you know, this is a league right now where the trend continues to be tall corners. So you see a guy like Jalen Ramsey, who could play corner or could play safety. I'd probably play him at safety, but he's a long, athletic, you know, defensive back. Eli Apple is a guy that's rising on boards. You know, he's out of Ohio State, you know, 6'1", 6'2", type corner. And, you know, those are the kind of guys that people want. So it's tough with a guy like Hargreaves that, you know, just, you know, he's 5'10". You know, it just makes it tough. So, you know, that's probably holding him out from being, you know, considered an elite prospect, because he's a guy that's going to stick with his man. He's not an overly physical guy either. I think that hurts him too. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to – you're not going to get by him. He's going to be right there with you.
Yeah.
Now, Cole, you intrigued me with what you said about Miles Jack, and you said that he deserves a spot in the top 10, you're just not sure where. Before, actually, on Twitter, I saw Pete Prisco from CBS Sports tweet pretty emphatically that Miles Jack is, without a doubt, the best overall player in this draft. I know you're pretty high on the Hargreaves, like you were just saying, but what do you like about Jack? I mean, do you agree with what Prisco is saying, or do you think he's, you know, maybe the fifth best prospect, 10th best prospect? What's like, your overall you know, summary on Miles Jack?
You know, if I look at this draft, they've got five guys that really, to me, separate themselves in terms of the confidence level that you can have that they're going to be very productive players, very good at the next level. That's Ramsey, who we talked about. That's Joey Bosa out of Ohio State. That's DeForest Buckner out of Oregon. Ezekiel Elliott out of Ohio State again. And then Miles Jack. Miles Jack, to me, is up there with the top five players. He's a guy that, you know, didn't get a whole lot of chances rushing the quarterback in college, but you could see him, you know, in blitz packages really just wreaking havoc and you know, putting up some sack numbers. You know, he's not your, you know, 3-4 outside linebacker that's rushing the quarterback all the time. You know, but he's a guy that could really make some plays in the backfield. He's a guy that can cover. He's fast, sideline to sideline, in an NFL that's, you know, trying to spread people out a little bit more. Got some mobile quarterbacks. You know, he's a guy that's not going to, you know, that's athletic enough to keep on the field every play. And that's just very rare. And he's a guy that just has a knack for making plays. So I could see him, you know, going as high as, you know, maybe the Chargers give him a look. The Cowboys, I think, will have him on their board. The Jags will talk about him. You know, those are teams. But if he gets by that portion of the draft, you know, maybe he starts to slip a little bit. Maybe you start seeing teams talk about trading up. You know, again, a 4-3 outside linebacker, which is really what he is, isn't typically in high demand. But he's a great player, and it's tough to see him slide out of the top 10. Maybe he could, but he's a guy that just he can do a little bit of everything, does it really well, very explosive, and a guy that just makes plays.
Yeah. Here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, DraftTech.com's Cole Muzio joining us, Gerald Bryan, Eddie Murphy, 347-324-5839. Cole, you talked about the quarterbacks that's in this draft, and I've always said that if you look at a lot of the teams –
that have had success and really took a quarterback, it's basically been in a system that they can be able to groom them. And for some reason, I think about two guys. I look at Aaron Rodgers and obviously the late, great Steve McNair, where you can be able to. Now, we don't live in an era anymore where you have guys you can sit for a couple of years. It's win now, and pretty much just you have to basically win now. You're looking at, and you just spoke about the young man out of North Dakota State going to is it North Dakota or South Dakota? I think I said, is it South
North.
Dakota? I think it's North Dakota. Carson Wentz going to Cleveland. How do they, if you could, being the GM, if you were in this situation, how do you make sure that this young man doesn't become Tim Couch all over again?
Well, to be honest, you know, if you're Cleveland, you have to like the value that you see in Carson Wentz, number two. He's a guy that has Pro Bowl-type potential. But if I'm in that Cleveland war room, I'm probably jumping up and down saying, look, we can't do this to this kid. We don't have enough around this team. And if you bring in a guy like Carson Wentz, who's going to have a rough adjustment to the NFL anyway, and you bring in a kid like that with a poor offensive line, a running back by committee that's just not very good, pretty much no wide receivers on the team, a defense that's really struggling, an organization that's been rebuilt time and time again, and maybe they're heading in the right direction. I think, you know, they're certainly cutting costs and certainly trying to rebuild from the ground up. Maybe they're doing it right this time. But it's a bad situation to bring in a young quarterback into, and the pressure's going to be intense. I probably, even though the value's there, even though he's probably worth the number two pick, I wouldn't take him. But if you do, you've got to spend the rest of the draft drafting offensive linemen, drafting receivers, drafting an offensive team that you can put around this guy to protect him, to give him options, and make sure that, you know, he is he's got the ability to make plays, and it's not all on him. If you're going to take a franchise quarterback, you've got to give them everything that it takes to be successful. And that comes in the players that you build around them. That comes in the coaching staff and making sure there's stability there, making sure you're doing everything to minimize expectations so your fan base doesn't get out of control when he's not doing well or when he's sitting on the sideline early. You got to have a systematic, holistic approach. And it's really tough if you're the Cleveland Browns right now. It's been an organization upheaval for a long time, and right now has just a pretty empty roster. It's pretty tough to throw a kid from North Dakota State right in there and expect him to do really well. But it's interesting that you brought that up about quarterbacks, because this is not a great quarterback class if you're the Browns, if you're the Broncos, if you're the 49ers, if you're one of these quarterback-hungry teams needing somebody right now. All those top quarterbacks, Wentz, Goff, Lynch, those guys have some big questions. But if you can sit a guy and groom them for a couple of years, like you mentioned, Steve McNair, Aaron Rodgers, you've got some really elite quarterbacks that are sitting in the latter rounds of the draft, Cardale Jones, Christian Hackenberg, Jeff Driscoll, Jacoby Brissett. Those are some guys that are first-round type talents that, you know, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers or an Arizona Cardinals or a New Orleans Saints, a team that can sit a guy for a couple of years, the Green Bay Packers. If you're a team that can sit a guy for a few years, this draft could be really good to you in terms of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
To stay on the topic of quarterbacks, the situation with Carson Wentz almost reminds me of a couple of years back with Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco ended up playing at Delaware. No one really saw him unless you're some diehard fan of the film room here. And before we're joking around, we're not even sure which college Carson Wentz played for, North Dakota, South Dakota. For the average college football fan who did not see Carson Wentz play at North Dakota, what could we expect to see from him? What do you like about his game? What don't you like about his game? So I just shed some light on that.
Well, he's a guy with all the physical tools, you know, similar to Flacco, except he's more mobile. You know, he can make all the throws, seems to have a pretty good head on his shoulders. And he's got some athletic ability. What you don't like about it is the competition. I mean, the best team he's played is, you know, Jacksonville State, and granted, Jacksonville State gave Auburn a run for their money earlier in the year, this year, but that's not exactly an elite team. So you're really concerned about the adjustment. You're really concerned about, you know, the head. Yeah, he seems to have a good head on his shoulders, but what happens when he's got, you know, 300-pound freaks that, you know, can run 4.7s, you know, that are coming at him to rip his head off? you know, and what does he do with guys like Jalen Ramsey, who's, you know, 6'1", 6'2", can keep up with anybody. Those are the people that are covering his guys downfield. You know, what does he do? How does he react? You just don't know at this point. So that, you know, maybe there's some holes in his game, but overall, as far as an, you know, athlete, as far as a guy that can make the throws, you know, he's about as complete of a quarterback as you'll see. You just haven't seen enough at a high competition level to really be sure that he's a franchise quarterback.
I got you. Hey, Cole, listen, really, really appreciate you jumping on the line with us, and we look forward to really speaking with you again, and obviously with your schedule being hectic, we definitely look forward to making this happen as the draft is right around the corner. Get your thoughts and opinions as the draft is upcoming, as well as after the fact, the winners and losers.
Yeah, absolutely. I look forward to it. Always enjoy being on the show.
Always a pleasure. The outstanding one, Mr. Cole Musial, joining us here. DraftTech.com. Outstanding individual, one of the best in the business. I tell you, outstanding, and always feel like I learn a lot from that gentleman. Cole, he's a real nice guy, and Murph, you can't go wrong when it's this stuff, but he kind of worried me when he said, Noah Spence. I don't want them to do that. Vernon Hargraves.
That's the most important part of the draft for us, because you're picking 9 and I'm picking 10, so that's going to be interesting to see if he's still a player that I really want there. So I know for a fact my phone will be out. I'll be live. I'll be texting you as the pick is getting walked up to the stage. So it's going to be pretty intense for us, I know.
Yeah, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I think I need that more than ever. Really, just
what,
being one of those situations.
You do want a cornerback? Is that what your target is?
I want a cornerback. I want a cornerback, and I want Hargraves. I'm not really sold on Brent Grimes. I wanted Brent Grimes a few years back, but what do you like in this draft, really?
You know, the Giants, I've seen every single mock draft. A player been mocked them outside of quarterback, I think, in every mock draft I've seen, which is just shows you the range of positions the Giants need, whether it's running back, receiver, lineman, offense or defensive. Who do I like in the draft? The quarterbacks scare me, I think. That's why I asked that question to Cole about, you know, we haven't seen Carson Wentz play. He's the best team he plays with Jacksonville State. So I really don't trust the quarterbacks. You know, running back in the top 10, Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, he's a great talent. I just cannot, if I'm a GM, I'm probably never picking a running back in the first round. Probably not in the second round either, because I don't value the position anymore. In the NFL, it's just your shelf life is like 2 or 3 top end seasons and you're going to drop off. I think this draft is very strong in the trenches. I think the both tackles, Tunsil and Ronnie Stanley, my guy from Notre Dame, very good. I think the cornerbacks are both very good, whether it's Hargraves or Jalen Ramsey. And I think the pass rushing linebackers, you have Miles Jack, you have DeForest Buckner, plays like a hybrid. I think you mentioned Joey Bosa, and I think they mentioned before from Shaq Lawson from Clemson, who they're the guys I like too. So I think the Giants probably will end up, I hope, what I want is either a left tackle like Stanley or maybe a guy like Miles Jack or Shaq Lawson there at 10.
Yeah, I think there's a guy, and we, again, here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, we're going hot and heavy. Let's keep the line moving. And, again, we're talking about the NFL draft, and we always do each year the journey to the NFL. It's an opportunity for our listeners, you guys out there, to be introduced to some of these gentlemen that are living the dream and really preparing for that. And right now we have on another installment, Mr. Rayshon Scott out of the U, joining us wide receiver. Rayshon, good evening. Gerald Brown and Eddie Murphy. No, not that Eddie Murphy. How you doing, Rayshon?
I'm great. How are you?
We're doing fine. Rayshon, talk about the process thus far, really going from the scouting combine, the combine, to the training, to your pro day. Have you had your pro day, first of all?
My pro day is tomorrow morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
Well, just talk about your preparation for that after coming off the perhaps the scouting combine.
I'm just keeping in shape. I train with Chris Chambers. He played wide out. And just
yes.
Taking me through all the techniques and how to do routes different, because I feel like in college you do everything off your natural ability. And in the NFL, everything's more sharp. Everything's more on point. So he's teaching me all that. So the process is pretty fun. I like it a lot. It's boring and stuff, but I really like it, like going through it.
Rachel Reversal, thanks for joining us, making the time, especially with your pro day tomorrow. So I really appreciate that. My question to you, and it's actually shocking you're saying that you enjoyed the whole process, because I was going to say, you had a pretty good season, and if I was a guy like you, I'd say, why do NFL teams and scouts care so much about what I do in gym shorts as opposed to what I did on the actual field? So you don't have that train of thought, you think it's okay if you perform at the combine well, you're all right with it, or you think you should focus more on your game than what you've done on Saturdays?
I go with both of them. You know, some people say they're better out there in 7-on-7. Some people better in pads. And I don't really know how to answer that question because I feel like I could do both of them. So.
Yeah, well, good for you, though.
Yeah. Rayshon, talk about this season. It seems like it was a very, very difficult season. And now, you know, obviously with the new head coach that's in place, just looking back on your college career, how would you sum up your college career in your opinion?
It was a little crazy. Had to grow up a lot. Went through a lot. Miami taught me a lot. A lot of stuff to do out here. Just all the people I met was pretty fun. Allen Hearn, Travis Benjamin, Tommy Streeter, just the wideout core. They taught me a lot, even though I went through some struggles there. But going through my fifth year with KB and Coach Coley and Golden, they really believed in me. So I know it was my last year. Couldn't really let them down, and I had to grow up. So it was pretty fun. So I can't really complain because everybody don't have this chance I had.
Now, you're playing down at the U. You did play down at the U, and I'm sure you've seen, you know, plenty of NFL guys used to play there, come by or talk to the team or whatever. I'm not even sure if you're friends with some of them. Does that add a certain kind of pressure to you, maybe an unwanted pressure that you have to perform at a high level because the U is expected of you to become, you know, be a good player at the next level, or do you somehow block that out if there was one?
Oh, no, I'm just going to live up to my expectation. I'm not living up to what you have done. I just want to do what I have done. And, you know, the other receivers that went to the U, I watched them like Reggie Wayne. That's pretty much the only expectation I look after, like watching Andre and them. You know, them boys, I watch them. They're a big inspiration to me. They're all over the wall. They name. So, you know, you want to be like them. They're living life, having fun, and they work hard.
Mm-hmm. Rayshon Scott joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show, Gerald Brown and Eddie Murphy. Rayshon, what do you want to show those scouts tomorrow that you felt you didn't show them at the combine?
Running better routes. I was a little nicked up, but 100% now. Just running better routes, catching precise balls, not bobbling nothing, and you know, got a little speed. That's pretty much it, and then I could compete at the top level.
Yeah,
Rayshon, I know you
good.
Met with a few teams. I know there's a story right a while back about you meeting with the Chicago Bears. Were there more teams you met with?
I met with the Jets at the East-West. I met with Carolina. And I pretty much met with probably 2018.
Okay, so with those meetings, we heard like those crazy questions they asked the combine and such. I mean, did you get any weird stuff, like vibes from them during those meetings, or they're just pretty normal, or were some teams more made you feel more comfortable? How'd those meetings go?
I personally felt like they went great because I know what they're gonna ask me. I have no reason to lie to them because I went through a lot of stuff at Miami. I'm sure the whole world knows. And I felt like it was great just having those meetings. I'm comfortable with talking about it. I'm sure they already know, so why am I going to sit there and try to hide it and be uncomfortable? Because at the same time, these are the same guys that you could be playing for, so why are you sitting there trying to hide stuff from them?
And Rayshon, you know, the draft is right around the corner. You know that you're going to have your name called. If and when that time may be, what do you think about as that day closes in? What do you think about when your name is going to call? What is the first thing that comes to your mind?
First thing I'm talking about is all the people that helped me and stuck with me throughout my process at Miami, through my ups and downs. mostly the really, really only people I really, really want to thank for that, because they still believe in me right now. And I really the only people I think about in my family.
I got to ask you, too, and I got a follow-up question, Murph. I got to ask you, Rayshawn, a couple things. Number one, you hear your name called, and are you going to shed a tear? Are you going to cry? Come on, keep it real, Rayshawn. Keep it real.
But you got to think about it. That's a moment thing. So, you know,
Listen, bro, you don't have to listen. If I'm in your position, I would be crying. I would have tissue with me already. I would have paper towels. You're supposed to cry. This is your moment. Don't be that Johnny Hard Rock where you can't show no emotion.
Oh, no.
But some guys don't.
I'm definitely not going to be hard. I'm not going to be hard about it, because I went through a lot, and a lot of people went through it with me. So that's that moment. If we talk again, I'm probably going to tell you what happened.
Well, we got to definitely make that happen. Now, real quickly, are you going to have is it a barbecue, or are you going to have something? What's going on? Tell us how that party's going to go down.
I don't even know how to party. I haven't even thought about that. I've just been training, and I'm getting ready for tomorrow. Yeah.
I hear you, man.
It's going to be one.
The cookout, I don't know if it's a cookout or a barbecue or something, but that definitely sounds good.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be good. I haven't had a home dinner in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Rayshawn Scott joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Go ahead, Murph.
After just reading about you, a couple things I saw was there was an article. I'm not sure if you saw this, but they compared you to an Anquan Boldin, or more so a Terrell Owens coming into the draft, because it was a guy with not so much of the notoriety that other receivers have. I know you said before that you won't want to do your own thing, but when you see stories like that, or hear stories like that, that has to make you feel a certain type of way. I mean, you're going to come to these teams now with a chip on your shoulder and show them you are this big physical receiver, or are you just not even paying attention to the stuff people say in the media?
I want to say hold a chip on my shoulder, but I'm going to show everybody that I could run routes. I could run deep routes. I don't only have to do a comeback route. And then being looked at after them comparing me to them guys, I used to watch Anquan Boldin all the time. I think he went to he didn't go to Pahokee. I think he went to Glaze.
He's from Pahokee. He's from Pahokee.
Pahokee?
Mm-hmm.
We used to play them. My high school used to play them. So that's how I first got known, because my first year, I remember playing against Denora Jenkins. So just by them comparing that, I think it's awesome. I want to be great just like them. So.
Yeah. Listen, Rayshawn, get you some rest, my friend. Get your mind, your body relaxed and focused. Best wishes tomorrow, man. And listen, we rooting for you, my brother. So definitely continue success in all that you do. And do us a favor, because I'm going to be reaching out Christina, as well as I'm going to shoot you a text after it's over, said and done with. We definitely love to have you come on and share that just story, man, and let us know what it meant for you to hear your name called.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Always. Best of luck to you. Rayshawn Scott, the U. Another talented young man coming out of the U. Outstanding individual, man. And that's the beauty of this, Murph, when we have these shows and stuff. Your thoughts on just, again, with Rayshawn.
Yeah. I mean, it was it was great to get back into asking the guys to hear their experience. And he seems like a really, really energetic guy who's very dedicated. Like you said, it's nice to hear those comparisons, but he wants to work hard, and that's good. I mean, obviously he had the bad injury, missed the whole season. He seems like he cares a lot. He seems like he's dedicated. And, I'll tell you what, like his physical tools, I mean, he's a big kid. I mean, he's like 6'2", 6'3", 205 pounds. I mean, you can't teach size. I'm sure teams are going to love that about him. So I like his attitude a lot. And I definitely like, his size. So I think he'll make an impact of, whoever gets picked middle round, he'll make an impact for a team. And I think they'll get lucky with a guy like that. And there's the pedigree of Miami, all the talent they've been shipping to the NFL, just been unbelievable. And I can't see why I think it'd be different now. I actually wanted to ask him, too, that I make a really bad decision not going to college in Miami versus Boston, because I was down to BU and the U. But I didn't want to make myself upset missing all the palm trees down there. So.
Oh, my friend. I think that, again, that's the beauty of doing these shows and these segments where you know, I like this, the NFL draft kind of better than I like the NBA draft, because, you know, it's the young men that are fortunate enough to get drafted. They already know going into the year that they're going to be drafted, but there are a lot of young men that can come in and, you know, they have an opportunity and you know what, they get a chance to show their case, their skills at the combine and things of that nature. It means a lot, because you're introduced,
sure,
to guys that are sharing the dream and living the dream. And I just am always inspired by hearing these stories. And, you know, it's always a great, great thing when you can have individuals that are basically,
yeah,
you know, just living that dream and having a good time with it. But I think,
yeah,
that was
absolutely
interesting.
Yeah, and he's coming on the night before. He has to do his pro day and stuff.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and he's saying, like, I'll do the scouting combine. He's like, I'll do both. I can perform both. Like, I mean, you got to love his confidence. You got to like how he's it gets confident enough to come on the show and talk to us for a couple minutes, even when tomorrow's probably one of the biggest days of his life. So, I mean, I give him a lot of credit for that, too. So, I mean, I wish him the best. I think he sounds like a really, really good guy you want on your team.
Yeah, it definitely is one of those things here. And we're waiting on Brandon Dowdy, young man's a quarterback from Western Kentucky. Your thoughts really on – I want to touch base and get your thoughts on really just the whole,
sure,
concept of this upcoming draft and these quarterbacks.
Yeah, like I kind of said before, it's a weird year where you have a couple of teams that need a quarterback. Like we touched on where you have the Browns, you have the Broncos, which is crazy to think because they just won a Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. They lose Brock Osweiler in a strange way. You have the 49ers right now who are trying to fool everyone. Personally, I don't think they want Colin Kaepernick. I mean, I don't think Trent Baalke and Jed York want to keep him. And I think they're trying to sway Chip Kelly to be on their side. So I'm pretty sure Colin Kaepernick's days are numbered there, even though the reports say they do want to keep him. So you got three teams right there that need a quarterback. You know, you could throw the Jets in there as well if you want, because Ryan Fitzpatrick still has not signed there. So there are teams out there that need a quarterback. And a year that there are, you know, I know Cole before said not that strong of a draft of quarterbacks. I think that, you know, these guys are, they're not the high-end guys like an Andrew Luck, but they're serviceable, that could be good. I just don't know if, you know, putting a Carson Wentz who played North Dakota, you know, right as a starting job with the Cleveland Browns is really going to help them. There's no real offensive talent there. I think the signing of RG3 actually does help the Browns out, whoever goes there, whether it's Goff or Wentz. Because I do believe in the talent that RG3 has, and having, you know, one of those guys learn underneath him for even a, you know, a couple games, a half a season, would do him,
yeah,
really well. Because I don't know if the level of competition going from where he played in college to the pros is going to be good for any young quarterback.
Right. Well, let's see. You know what? We're speaking about quarterbacks, and as I said before, what I love about the Journey to the NFL segment, because, again, you know, like I said, with the NBA, you know your first and second round guys, but then the NFL, you know, draft, it allows us and introduces us to so many individuals that are living the dream and sharing the dream. And this next gentleman up, he's playing the quarterback position. He played it for the Hilltoppers of Western Kentucky this year. Brandon Dowdy joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Brandon, good evening. Gerald Brown, Eddie Murphy, how's everything going?
What's up, guys, man? Honored to be on the network, man. It's pretty cool. So thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Sure.
Brandon, talk about just obviously from the scouting combine and everything up to this point, how has this process been for you thus far?
Man, it's a long interview. You're just doing a really long interview process, man. You got to stay with it and make sure that you're just kind of being on top of it day in and day out, and I got to clock in, clock out during the time, man. It's pretty cool. So I'm just kind of enjoying the experience, man. I'm really just kind of it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, so I'm just kind of enjoying it, you know, trying to make the most of it for sure.
Now I was gonna ask you about, you know, the difference between playing, you know, having these scouts and guys in the NFL teams, you know, scouting you based on what you've done on Saturdays versus, you know, the combine, the workouts, and the you know, the bowl games they have you play in. But you performed pretty well in all those. So I was going to say, I mean, do you want a team to look at you, what you did, your game film, and say, oh, that's the quarterback we're going to get? Or do you feel like a certain pressure added on when you have to perform well in these games where it's all full of scouts, or you're just, you know, in gym shorts running a 40 or a bench press? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I hope I don't have to ever run a 40-yard ever again in my life for my sake and for the viewers' sake, man. The leotard we had on, man, was so exposing. But no, man, it's cool, man. I really wish that we had more televised games, man. I think we do a really cool job, cool deal on offense. You know, we played some top talent this year, and I'm kind of under-recruited, undervalued, but I've been undervalued my entire life, so I'm comfortable in this role. So I'm excited to kind of get on a team, and I hope that the scouts are seeing my game film and seeing, you know, how I perform under pressure, man, because those are pressure situations now, playing, you know, trying to throw at the combine and throwing at your pro day. You got like 8 people staring at you like you're a piece of meat on saying, how can you drop back? What can he do? So, you know, just trying to, you know, use a little bit of a mixture of both, man. I know in college I was kind of at a small school, and I know that it's a national scale now going into the NFL, and I really think I can contribute to a team right away. And I'm not just saying that. I really truly think that my skill set is something that's a little bit different than what people think it is. I kind of, going back traditionally, I'm not you know, I'm not the fleetest feet. I can probably compare myself to Tom Brady, man. I take this thing really seriously. This is my life. When you think about Brandon Dowdy, you think about Christ, and you think about football, man. It's the two things that have really sculpted me to the person I am today. So I'm just really hoping these guys like to see the person I am, see the player I am, and take a chance on me, man. I'm really, really excited for that. I know the team will.
Oh, that's, you know, it's, I get so inspired when you know, hearing yourself and speak, and it's those type of stories that, like I said before, the NFL, the NBA cannot even match up. Brandon, when you look at, obviously, I don't know if you guys have had your pro day as of yet. You guys had it, I think, March. It was March 29th. You had it, was
yeah,
it today?
Yeah, we had it today, this morning, so it was cool.
Talk about the pro day. This is interesting. And kudos to Rosenhaus Sports, one of the best sports agencies out there. Christina, love it to death. We just got Rayshard Scott. He has his pro day tomorrow. You're just coming off of your pro day. Talk about that experience today compared to the combine.
It was cool, man. You know, we had about 80, 85 guys, scouts, coaches, GMs, head coaches out there today, and it was the biggest one in school history, which is very cool. To be on another honor, another notch on my belt, playing at Western Kentucky, man, another thing that we haven't done before that I got to do, man. I was a part of it. We had some great talent. We got a great tight end. We got some 2 pretty good receivers, man, and, you know, just a lot of guys that just want to win and want to play at the next level, and today was very cool, man. I threw it pretty well. I came off my hands pretty well. It was like a cold, windy day here, so, you know, all these big-time schools got these indoor facilities. They're throwing indoor, and they don't have to worry about nothing. It's pretty sweet. Now you got to grind it out on the hill, baby. So it was cool. It was a really good experience. Got to talk to a lot of teams. I mean, I was up there until about 5:30 just talking to teams. We got done around 1. I talked to numerous teams and numerous meetings, going over plays, going over scripts, going over what we were going to do. So it was very cool, very, very cool experience. And like, again, another life, once in a lifetime thing. If it all doesn't work out, I'll tell my kids about it one day. So it was very cool.
Mm-hmm. Right. You talked before about it's one long interview you're basically a part of. And you're a guy who's been, you know, skyrocketing above the charts, and, you know, your draft position is getting higher and higher, seemingly every day. But with the actual interviews, and I'm sure you had to deal with a whole heck of a lot of them, do you feel like an added pressure of giving a certain answer? Because you seem to be a pretty candid guy and just speak from the top of your head, which is great. I think everyone respects that. But does it ever, you know, creep into your mind and say, maybe we should worry of giving more, you know, total company line type answer, or you just kind of just do what you want to do?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm very confident in my knowledge of the game. And I've been in 3 different offenses. I've been in the West Coast system. I've been in Bobby Petrino's pro style, spread, whatever he runs. And then I've been in this kind of hybrid thing that we had last year. So me talking on the board and me talking to teams, it's very comfortable for me. It's definitely a comfort level I got. I talked to some guys today, and within 10 minutes, they were kind of like, all right, well, that's all we need to know, man. You do a heck of a job. And then they start just kind of, you know, talking about life, you know, and talking about who they know. You know, I'm learning in this sports world, man. This world is very, very small. You know, you meet, like, my second cousin is married to your daughter. It's like, holy cow, what the hell's going on here? So, it's pretty cool, man. So I'm
you know, I'm very confident in that. I understand my abilities. I really think I can be a playmaker in this next level, and I just kind of think I need to get in the right system and get in the right fit, and I think I can really, really make an impact. I really, truly think that. I'm not just telling you guys that, and I tell these teams that, man, you know, I have a skill set that's very, very unique in the NFL, and I think that I can bring a different dynamic and a different work ethic to this thing. And I'm not the type of guy that's going to go out and party and do some crazy stuff. I just got married, so that stuff's all done for me. So, you know, just kind of just being myself in those meetings and just kind of being the person that I am, I think that's important. So just not trying to hide anything, but just kind of being clean, roll up your sleeves, and have a good meeting. So it's pretty sweet.
Congratulations, jumping the broom. He is Conference USA MVP, Hilltopper of Western Kentucky, Brandon Dowdy, joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show and the journey to the NFL. Brandon, you know, it's not a, you know, if and when you hear your name, have you thought about that moment? I mean, obviously, you know, during the whole, you know, process of training and stuff, sometimes it's so far off to even think about that. But we're closing into the draft. I mean, you know, April 1st is right around the corner. You know, we're on the countdown now. What will it mean for you in terms of being able to hear your name called? And if it's not called, what would it mean for you to be a part of the NFL in terms of just that feeling? And what will, you know, what will it mean to you?
Man, it's everything to me. Football is my life. Football is what defines me as a person. I don't know. I can't picture my life without football. It's kind of crazy to say. Everyone, and my fiance actually told me today, we were talking about pro days. I missed a dig route, and I was kind of pissed off about it. And she was like, "Babe, you know, there's other things going on other than football." I'm like, "Man, really? Are you serious? I don't believe you. I don't think anyone else." So, but no, man, it's a dream come true. When I was in the backyard when I was a young kid growing up in South Florida, I was Dan Marino, and to be playing in the same league as Dan and watching him on TV and seeing what he's doing, and you know, being up in, just to be in the list of maybe possibly being in the NFL is an honor in itself. And I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. I'm probably going to cry. I'm not really an emotional guy, but I'll probably shed a tear. My fiance and my wife would probably be really hyped about that. So it's going to be cool, man. It's going to be a cool moment. I'll share with my family and stuff. And Drew will be there. He already told me today. So, you know, I'm just really excited about it. We'll see what happens when it happens, and if it does, if I don't get drafted, which I think I will. I'm pretty confident in that. But if I don't, man, it's just gonna be another. Just gotta prove some more doubters wrong. That's just kind of how my story has been my entire life. Wasn't really recruited well out of high school. Went to a small school, and now I'm kind of getting overlooked. And I think I'm up there with those guys like Wentz and Jared Goff. I think you should put me into consideration there. But you know, it's just a part of it. I'm not 6'5". I don't run a 4.2", but I can play the game of football. I know the game of football, and I understand the concepts of what teams are trying to do to me. So been successful everywhere I've been. So I've been successful in three systems. So I just know that I can play this level, and I'm very excited about what the future holds for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Brandon, thanks again for joining us. And, I mean, I'm enjoying this interview with you. My question before, right actually before you came on, I was talking with Gerald about how Carson Wentz played at North Dakota State, and not many people in America, even diehard college football fans like we are, can see much of him. And I'm sure, you know, probably see the same amount as you at Western Kentucky as well. And, you know, we're saying maybe it's a good idea for a guy like Wentz to learn a year or two, you know, if he gets drafted with the Cleveland Browns or a team like that, it's in a pretty, you know, tough spot. And I was going to say for you, would you want to learn under a quarterback, maybe a really top-end veteran, but after doing this interview, I take it you're not a guy that wants to learn, so you want to get right in the huddle and, you know, be the guy and be the franchise leader. So am I wrong for thinking that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I'm a competitor at heart, man. I've been starting for 3.5 years. I'm an old dog. I'm 24 years old. I think I definitely can learn from a veteran. I'm not saying that. I think that if I got behind a guy like Tony Romo or Eli Manning or, you know, someone like that, I think I can definitely, you know, benefit from that for sure. I think the best quarterbacks in the league, our league, have done that. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, they sat behind veterans that taught them the ropes, taught them how to learn, taught them how to be a pro. And I think I can definitely benefit from that. But
The competitive side of me wants to lead a team and wants to win a dang Super Bowl as fast as I possibly can, because that's just how I am. That's just how I've been, you know, my DNA is and how I've been brought up. So, you know, I'm really excited seeing what's going to happen. I can't really control that. I'm just trying to control what I can control and trying to, you know, bring a Super Bowl to wherever I go next year. I think it'll be very cool.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Brandon, really, really appreciate you jumping on the line with us. And on behalf of myself and Eddie Murphy, listen, you probably don't know us from a hole in the wall or a can of paint, I always say, but I tell you this, my friend, we're rooting for you. And I admire, you know, obviously the initiative and just really the attitude. And, you know, they always say a setback is a setup for a comeback. And, you know, you seem pretty much you got your head squared on straight. Always remember, if you stay humble and hungry, all things will work out, and obviously you're on the right track, and you're in great hands with Drew and Christina and those great folks over there at Rosenhaus Sports. But listen, best wishes to you, man. Enjoy this process, because not too many people get a chance to do it. Shed a tear when you hear your name. Call, or if you get that opportunity, sign that contract, definitely do that. But do us a favor. Come back on this show. I'll be in contact with Christina. Send you a text. Once the process is over, said and done with, we would love to have you back on just to really understand what that process was like, you know, going through it and obviously getting prepared and ready for the next phase.
Thank you guys so much, man. That means a ton. God bless you guys. God got a plan for everybody. So I'm just kind of living his dream. So it's very cool. I will definitely be back. I'm excited for it. And just keep you guys posted. So it'll be cool.
Always
Thank
a pleasure.
You. Our pleasure.
Thank you, buddy.
Brandon Dowdy of Western Kentucky Hilltoppers joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Outstanding individual. Murph, I tell you, this is what I tell you. It epitomizes what the NFL is all about. I'm rooting for that young man because he's going to make a team, and I guarantee you, you never know. You just never know. Matt Castle, young man, didn't even play at USC, but that's what the beauty of the NFL is all about, Murph, where you can't put a price tag on guys really having that dream and getting that opportunity. You know, I felt it when I spoke to him. I felt it tonight.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. That was one of the best ones I think we've ever done. One of my favorite. I've never seen somebody more confident and not confident in a cocky way, just a very humble, smart way. But he knows what his abilities are and knows what he can do, and he's ready for the challenge. And I was just thinking during the interview, imagine a guy who's quarterback in Western Kentucky all of a sudden maybe gets a shot with like the Los Angeles Rams. You know, you're the new quarterback, the franchise guy of a brand new franchise, and you know, the second biggest market in the world. And he's something it's incredible. And just you know, hearing what he said and just reading some of his quotes. Like saying how he wished he played at LSU every single like day of his career. I mean, stuff like that. It's just hilarious, and it's very you know, gets you fired up. And I'm rooting for him. And the bright side is too. I mean, he's still going. You know, he's sliding off the draft board. I mean, they said he's going to be probably. He went from like a later day pick to possibly you know, an earlier day two pick. You know, I think Cole said before a lot of good quarterbacks deeper in this draft. You know, maybe outside the guys in the first round, he's probably the next one you look at after, you know, the Wentz and the Goff, Connor Cook. Maybe Brandon's the next name up, and I think a team will get a guy who's definitely going to, you know, whether he has a talent or not to last in the NFL, he definitely has the ability to keep trying, and he has the confidence and he has the will, and I think that's hard to see.
Yeah, keep up, Murph. We're going hot and heavy. Gentlemen, that's been so kind to hold on momentarily. We finished up with Brandon Dowdy joining us right now because, as we said before, you got the Final Four this weekend. You also have Major League Baseball taking place, and it's always a joy, a pleasure to have him on because, again, if you want to know what's going on baseball, RickyNator555 on Twitter, the outstanding one, Ricky Kill, is joining us right now here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Ricky, what's going on, my friend? Always a pleasure to talk to you, and I thank you so much for your time and just really obviously getting an opportunity to talk some baseball with you once again.
Same here, guys. Always a pleasure. How are you?
We're doing fine.
Good.
Ricky, the biggest story today was obviously the whole situation yesterday. I think everybody was sort of, if you were a Met fan, you were a little worried that Matt Harvey missed the spring training start, didn't know if he was going to be unscheduled to start. Thus, the report comes out today that he passed a blood clot that he had from a urinary tract infection. Even though they say he's going to make his first start against the Kansas City Royals this weekend, how much of a concern is that if you're Met fans in terms, as well as Met front office management, to watch and see how he performs opening night?
I don't think opening night, Gerald, is as big, because obviously opening night is hyped up more, but you have to remember it's also game one of 162. So I don't think they'll monitor Harvey closely. He's supposed to actually pitch tomorrow in a spring game for a little bit against Steven Strasburg. So you might see how Harvey maybe feels tomorrow, but he is supposed to pitch on Sunday. I think it's a relief that it's only that, because a lot of people, when you heard non-orthopedic, you never know what that might be. But Harvey, he's under a microscope in New York. There's no question about it. With his activities he does off the field, he likes to go out, he likes to party, does things like that, and that puts you under a microscope, especially after all that inning stuff last year. But I don't expect anything different from Matt Harvey. I expect him to go out Sunday night. I expect him to compete, and expect it to be a really interesting game, considering it's the World Series rematch, considering the tensions between these two teams after the Game 3 with Syndergaard and Escobar last year. Who knows what might happen with that. So I think it's going to be real exciting opening night to watch Matt Harvey after what he did and almost – pulled it off last year in Game 5, except the Royals came back against them.
Yeah.
That's Ricky, thanks for joining us. Oh, I just wanted to get in on this Harvey conversation as well. But more on the Mets and the PR side, and I'm a Yankees fan, but when I saw them say that there's something happened with Matt Harvey, it's not an arm thing, and they basically told all fans, they didn't tell fans to guess, but they let fans guess and speculate, and they were saying all crazy things they've heard, from whether it was cancer to AIDS to an STD to this and that. I mean, I thought that was absurd. And then,
right. Then
the second part, hearing that they thought he originally went out and partied for his birthday, because I believe his birthday was a couple of days ago, and they didn't believe him at first that it was an actual ailment. I mean, are the Mets totally wrong here? I mean, I just want to get your opinion on what the Mets and how they handled it. Was it completely wrong, or was it something that you think they had to do? Was their hand forced? I mean, I thought it was absurd.
Well, from what I understand from listening yesterday, the Mets don't – there's a certain things the Mets can say without Harvey has to consent to them saying. I think it might be tough for Harvey to say yesterday that he had the blood clots in his bladder. So I there's something to go along those lines. But, again, remember last year he missed a workout during the postseason and was late for that. So there is some concern in the right on the Mets side, but that's just the back and forth between the Mets and Harvey that's been for a while. If Harvey goes out and pitches great, it's a non-issue. But it is interesting to monitor, especially, again, you can't ignore the elephant in the room that Scott Boras is his agent. So there's a lot of that going on, especially after last year. I don't think the Mets handled it incorrectly, but Harvey then came out, I think, said today about how he read some of the things on Twitter, what people were saying. And at the same time, you shouldn't be reading what you say on Twitter, because honestly, Harvey has to know that he made a lot of fans angry last year, regardless of how great he was in the playoffs.
He definitely did. Rick, I want to get your thoughts and opinions on this year. I think it's great. Major League Baseball overall, the decision to basically, first and foremost, I think it was great that they are, you know, having these situations where, okay, you're going to open up the schedule, first of all. I think it's great that normally in the past you would have teams play that Sunday and then everybody would open up that Monday and you would have the nationally televised game. I think it's such a great idea to have multiple games on. In fact, there's four games on Sunday, and on top of that you have a full slate of games on Monday. But how important is it for Major League Baseball to not only open it up and have multiple teams playing Sunday and taking an opportunity that there's no college basketball or anything of that nature, but also having a interleague, I don't know if you can say that anymore, a rematch of last year's World Series, something that in years past we would have never seen at all.
Well, remember, they actually got lucky with that, because that schedule came out in September, that it was Mets,
wow,
and Royals open, Mets and Royals in April. So they kind of got lucky with that when they ended up being the World Series. But in the end, you got a great matchup with those two we talked about earlier. You got a Cardinal-Pirate matchup, which is always exciting, with Wainwright and Liriano going back to the last couple of years. They competed in the playoffs a couple of years ago. And that Tampa-Toronto game might look, if you're not a big baseball fan, it might not look as great as the other two, but two great young pitchers going at it in Stroman and Archer. Archer was great last season, Cy Young candidate. Stroman's developing and going to be the ace of the Blue Jays this year with Price gone. So I think it's an excellent idea. I know people like the one game and then the rest open the following Monday. But to get three games and to have baseball for a day of its own was an excellent idea.
Yeah, and I mean, don't forget, you can't leave out the Chicago Cubs and the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I think
that's an exhibition, actually.
Oh, that's an exhibition. I'm sorry. That is an exhibition. You see, as much as we applaud Major League Baseball, why is that game on the schedule there? I don't get that.
They open the following night. I think it just might be – remember, the Cubs are in Vegas playing the Mets Thursday and Friday, so I guess the Angels have to get an exhibition in. I don't know how that works, but I agree with you. If you're going to play, you should play Sunday, but that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So it'll still be a good match Sunday.
Yeah, and Jake Arrieta, Garrett Richards will do battle Monday night. But I think you said it right. I mean, outside of that little hiccup right there, you have some amazing games. It just doesn't make any sense. You got an exhibition game going on while guys are playing a regular season game. You know, I just don't understand that at all.
I want to put a little Yankees here. Simple question for you, Ricky. Yankees first starter, is it Nova, is it CC? I know you can make the argument, but neither deserve it. Where do you think they're going to land here? CC's to lose, which I probably think it is, but what's your take on that?
It's CC's. I agree with you, Eddie. It's CC's to lose solely based on the fact he's making $25 million, but Ivan Nova hasn't exactly pitched great either. He's a guy that's been really inconsistent for the course of his career, pre-Tommy John and now post-Tommy John. It's the same thing. Been wanting to see a lot more from him. Sabathia, at least you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get 5-6 innings. You're going to get 3 or 4 runs. And with that bullpen, it's going to keep you in most games. So I'm not really mad that Sabathia would start the year on the team because really it's just about keeping the team in the game. The guy I think I would watch going forward would be Brian Mitchell, who just announced today he's going to make the team. And he's going to be, I think, your new Adam Warren. And so far, Mitchell's been really good this spring, showed some flashes last year. And I think he's going to be a guy, especially with the Yankees' injury history and rotation, they're going to rely a lot on this year.
Ricky Killer joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Ricky, Major League Baseball made the decision to have the Tampa Bay Rays go into Cuba and play the national team. Talk about your thoughts on what that means for overall for the game of game of baseball. And is it possibly that we will see, obviously the end of the defections from people from Cuba and these outstanding ball players? Do you think that we would see something perhaps moving forward, that we would see that elimination of that and thus the players from Cuba being allowed to go into the Major League Baseball, but now have to be entered through the draft process?
Well, I think, Darryl, we have a long way to go to get to the whole point of where I want to get to a point, Drew, where they don't have to worry about risking their lives to come here and play baseball. I think that's what we all want to see. We've heard the stories. I don't want to see that anymore, and hopefully this is – I look at what happened last week, and it was a great game to watch, seeing the two presidents together, seeing the two teams together, the exchanging of jerseys. I loved every minute of it. I understand the people that didn't really like it because I understand how – If you have family that are Cuban, if something like that, I get why people are angry about it. It's going to be a small step, I think, to getting into it, but I do like that Commissioner Manfred tried to do this. I think it's definitely a great idea. And the one thing I want to see, strictly from a baseball perspective, in addition to getting those players to stop having to defect to play, next year the World Baseball Classic, I don't know if they can get it done that quickly, but imagine a unified Cuban team with Abreu, Fernandez, Chapman,
Cespedes.
That team play would be incredible.
Wow. That would be amazing. That would definitely be amazing. And I think it would be a good way to sort of, a good opportunity to sort of implore some goodwill and really, really have things moving in the right direction.
Ricky, I think I was in Vegas, 2 weeks ago now, and I was looking at the odds over there, and I believe the Red Sox were the odds-on favorite to win the AL East, and they were like the highest out of all the teams' division, above the Yankees, Rays, Orioles, et cetera, Blue Jays. And when I look at the Red Sox roster, and I see the pitching rotation outside of David Price, and I see how every day it's a trade watch, basically. Are they going to move Pablo Sandoval, and can you trust Hanny Ramirez, and this and that? I'm not really impressed with this team, but it seems like a lot of analysts are, and Vegas is. Where do you sit on the Red Sox, or do you, you know, agree with me, or do you think that I'm totally lost?
Well, you're not lost, but here's the thing with the East. Everybody in the East has warts, and they have really big warts. Boston, it's who's going to pitch behind Price. Tampa Bay, it's where your offense is coming from. Toronto, it's the closer situation and the starting pitching. Yankees, it's the starting pitching. And with the Red and Baltimore, they're starting pitching. So it's really up in the air. The Red Sox lineup last year was really one of the better ones in the second half. Outside of Sandoval and Ramirez, remember they were great without Ramirez, so anything they get from him would be a bonus. The Sandoval thing is interesting to watch because I think they like Travis Shaw a lot at third base, and it's going to be tough to fit Sandoval early on in the year unless he's hurt. But I like their lineup. They're pitching, again, who's going to be behind Price? Because Rodriguez is out the first month of the year. So it'll be interesting to see how that starting rotation develops. I like their bullpen with Kimbrel, but Carson Smith is hurt, and he's supposed to be a big point of their setup for seventh inning, and you're relying a lot on old Koji Uehara. I think Boston's in the mix, but I don't really think when you look at the East, there's not a prohibitive favorite in this division. You can make a case for any of these five teams.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I want to ask you about your take on this whole Adam LaRoche story in regards to, you know, Chris Sale had some very, very harsh words, or strong words, I have to say, and really was a lot of it centered around Vice President or President Kenny Williams of the Chicago White Sox. Is this a situation that bears watching where possibly – if the White Sox get off to a bad start, that perhaps not Robin Ventura, but Williams would be a guy that would possibly be asked to be step down?
It's definitely going to be the talk. If the White Sox get off to a bad start, this is what's going to pop up, and that's the fault of the White Sox because they could have handled this in January, and it wouldn't. And I don't think it would have made a big deal if you didn't. It did in spring training. People can blame the votes, and I understand that. But if he wants to give up $13 million, he wants to give up $13 million. As long as he's happy with that decision. But for Kenny Williams, really, to not address it right away, and to be honest, they should have called the Nationals. The Nationals knew that the kid was around every time, and they had no problem with it. So if you don't do your research, that's on you. Ventura's already in the hot seat as it is, because the White Sox have underachieved the last couple of years, and they brought in Todd Frazier. They brought in a couple other good hitters in that lineup, and obviously they have Abreu. And it's outside of Kansas City, it's pretty wide open. Detroit's supposed to be pretty good. Cleveland's got the pitching. But this is really a make-or-break year, I think, for the White Sox and Ventura. So you don't really want – it's interesting to see it because, again, Chris Sale came out and was open about it. I had no problem with what Chris Sale said because he sticks up for his player. But that's going to be definitely something to watch. That storyline isn't going away if the White Sox have a bad April.
Wow. Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
My last question for you, Ricky, is with the Diamondbacks, they seem to be the team that everyone wants to pick as the dark horse. You know, it's really surprised some people here. They broke the bank and, I guess, traded the farm to help their pitching out. They already had a pretty good lineup. Are they a team that's going to be talked about as a dark horse to fall flat in their face, or do you think there's some actual traction to this whole notion?
Well, I think they're the mix. We've talked about it here on the show before. The National League, in my mind, is 8, maybe 9 teams. We count the Marlins for 5 spots. Diamondbacks are definitely in the mix as one of those 9 teams. Greinke's going to help that rotation. If Patrick Corbin can stay healthy, along with Shelby Miller, that's going to be a big boost for them, too. If Mike Tomas has to perform, he struggled last year in his first year. Interesting to see how he does being the everyday left fielder. They still have Boltzmann. They still have Pollock and a pretty good lineup. The question for me is still in the bullpen. Brad Ziegler's the closer. He's okay, but he's not a great closer. And they bring in Tyler Clifford, but Clifford broke down at the end of last year with the Mets. So their bullpen would be a concern. The back of the rotation with Corbin, De La Rosa, and Ray is still a concern. But again, when I look at that NL West, the Giants look pretty good. The Dodgers, they've got so many injuries, both in the starting rotation and with the injury to Ethier to start. Now you have to play Carl Crawford every day. And first-year manager and Dave Roberts. I haven't made my picks yet, but I'm leaning toward putting Arizona as one of those two wild cards or maybe ahead of the Giants.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, again, you just have so many new pieces in terms of with the Dodgers, and you're right. It's an even year. So I think, was it odd years or something like that, I think, with the Giants, but they didn't?
It's even year, so this would be their year if it would be the
year. Yeah, so it'll be their year to really – again, once again, claim their throne. Rick, let everybody know where they can get all the information and everything that you have going on. And it's baseball season, my friend. It's baseball season right around the corner. So let everybody know where they can catch up all your information going on.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, at Rickinator555. You can follow my Yankee show, at YGY Radio Show, at Yanks Leroy FS, is the Yankee account. We're doing a show Thursday with State of the Yankees, doing our predictions for the season. Saturday night at 8 o'clock, Thursday night show's at 9. Saturday night at 8 is our Astros-Yankee preview show. We do a preview show for every Yankee series, so you'll tune in before each series, get the pitching matchups, players to watch, things like that. So we'll have Astros writer on Saturday at 8. Also, check out my Nationals coverage for districtondeck.com. You'll get a couple preview stuff for the season there sometime this weekend.
Yeah. Ricky, I want to let you know something, my friend. I got something in the works. I have you definitely in mind. I definitely want to let you know that. So I will be in touch, but I want you to understand this, and I mean this. Like I told Vast, I heard earlier, I really appreciate you reaching out and offering your condolences on the passing of Fife. But also, more importantly, I just really appreciate you making yourself available and coming on the show. And, you know, it's been some time, and just really each and every single time you've been on the show, it's been first-class information and top of the line. And I just want to say wholeheartedly, I really, really appreciate you, your professionalism and your kindness and all that you provide. It's tremendous insight.
Absolutely. Well, it's my pleasure to be on with you guys all the time, and my thoughts and prayers are with you guys over the loss that you had, and I understand that was very tough for everybody at the Bottom Line Sports Show. So, again, my thoughts and prayers with you guys, and it's always a pleasure to be on your show. You guys have great professionalism as well, and I always appreciate it.
Ricky, always appreciate it. Definitely be talking to you soon, my friend. Baseball's here.
That's right. I'm excited about it. Happy to be on with you guys. Thanks, Gerald, and thanks, Eddie. Good luck with the rest of the show.
Thanks again. Ricky right, Keeler joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Amazing, amazing, amazing. That guy's good. That guy's good. I got something. That guy's good. Boy, we had so many guys. We had an onslaught of guys.
We had more in an hour and a half than we have on, you know, both weekend shows on Saturday and Sunday with, 6 hours total, so. But, I mean, hey, like you said before, we came on with a lot of stuff to talk about, so I'm not, you know, not totally against it. I got to cover end of spring training, start regular season baseball, had to cover NFL draft, so we did all that. And the Final Four, obviously, too, so no complaints.
Yeah, so before we wrap up the show in terms of just let's talk about this whole situation in terms of, the Final Four. Who do you think you have? Who are you picking, Murph? Who's going to be your winners, and who goes on and meets in the championship game Monday? Who wins it?
Yeah, well, to be totally honest, my Final Four, my championship game is no longer possible. I had Michigan State, and they had Kansas, and I had Kansas beating Michigan State. However, the other teams I did have in the Final Four were Oklahoma and the UNC Tar Heels. So I guess the next best thing to see is the UNC versus Oklahoma. I really, really, really like Buddy Hield and how he's been playing. I think he's by far the best player in college, and he has been since the beginning of the season. So good for him, and I think his draft stock is going way up. Should be a top five pick. You know, I don't care what you say about, you know, upside and how long he's been in college. The guy is a proven, you know, winner, and he's doing everything he can for his team. So I'm kind of in my head. I'm rooting for Oklahoma and Buddy Hield, but. I mean, my heart, but my head is telling me that UNC is just too good of a team. There's just too much talent there. Bryce Johnson, and Marcus Page, and like what Mike Bryce said about, you know, the team with Kentucky last year had so many good players on it. It was, you know, Towns and all those guys are in the NBA now. Yet he said that this UNC team is far superior because they're men, and they're not getting the national media coverage that Kentucky team got. So I think that speaks volumes because Notre Dame and Mike Bray, you know, that's a good program, a good coach there. So I think UNC actually will win the national championship this year.
Yeah, I think that as well. And, you know, I just want to see really competitive games. I think that it would be really entertaining if Syracuse is able to beat North Carolina and you would have Oklahoma and Syracuse, two improbables. But I think that you know, at this point, you want to have two, you know, sort of marquee names. I would like to see that. And, I mean, again, we all know with the North Carolina Tar Heels mean to, you know, our colleague Fife. So you know what, if they happen to win, I think that it'd be so great, because again, I knew that that's how much that team meant to him. But being who I am, and he wouldn't want me to be any other way, he know that I would sit there and hate on those North Carolina Tar Heels. So I'm hoping that Syracuse, and I'm hoping that it's Oklahoma and Syracuse in the finals. And I think Buddy Hill goes on and takes this opportunity. And for the guys that stayed in school 4 years, he gives them hope to say that, you know what, not everybody that has to go one and – everybody that's one and done is always guaranteed to have instant success. So I do like that, and I'm hoping for that. Murph, you know, this past weekend we really shared a lot of our sentiments, and unfortunately you weren't around this weekend. So I think it would be really foolish of me to not allow you the opportunity to really just share your thoughts and your sentiments and reflections on working with Fife and having Fife be a part of our family here on the Bottom Line Sports Show.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously when I heard the news, it was terrible, especially when a guy you're always talking to and always joking around with, and you see him, and come, whether it's coming in studio or talking to him every Tuesday night, it's really sad and upsetting to have another loss. It's been a pretty rough couple weeks for me, as you know as well. So it's just another thing I did not need to happen. And it's sad because it's something I'll miss. And it was a lot of fun with a guy who he made a career in the rap hip hop game, and he's a legend. He's so good at that. But at the same time, he knew so much about sports, and he was so well, you know, respected by guys in the media and the teams. I mean, the Knicks and the Jets post stuff about him, and it just shows you how much he knew and how much he cared. You know, it's funny too, is on Saturday and Sunday, it's always you and Howie going back and forth and arguing with each other, whether, you know, about basketball or whatever else. And then on the Tuesday night show, hanging out with Fife, it's you and him yelling at each other about whether it was, you know, Ohio State, like you said, UNC, you know, just all those different things that'll come up. And he'll make fun of your buck, all those kind of things that, you know, just, you never, you know, the Bottom Line Show, whether it's Saturday, Sunday, or Tuesday, there's always a funny debate going on. So definitely going to miss that with having him around as, the third guy, you know, with us to, you know, bounce some ideas around and talk about whatever we talk about. And it was just always great with him. So I'm definitely going to miss the banter back and forth and his knowledge and, you know, the different ideas and opinions that he brought, and just the guy that, you know, was just gone too soon. Nothing else to say. Just a really bad situation.
Yeah, and I want to also echo those same condolences to your family. I know I had mentioned to you privately with the passing of your grandmother. I wanted to offer my condolences publicly to you and your family on your loss.
Thanks.
And stuff. Definitely. So I know I had mentioned it before, but I definitely wanted to take this opportunity. Now, Murph, you said that NFL – who are the teams that actually tweeted about Fife?
I believe the Jets and the Knicks posted an Instagram picture of Fife. One of the Jets obviously had a Jets jersey on, the Knicks one. They had like, you know, a thing like rest in peace to our friend, the official account. So I mean, it shows just the impact he's had on the teams in the area. I'm not sure if there was more. I know there was definitely those two, and I know he had a lot of love on social media as well. You know, just when I woke up that morning and saw it, a lot of, you know, professional teams and writers and all these, you know, people always did stuff on him. You know, Ryan Russillo on Russillo and Cannell did a whole segment on him as well. I know he was on, Fife was on SVP at midnight, his own sports center. I'm not sure. I think SVP said something about him too. I mean, just all over, no matter where you look, he was getting a lot of love from a lot of different people, people you'd never expect, you know, to have a good relationship with him. And they're saying all these kind words. So it was just really amazing to see how, you know, far a reach he had, whether it was in music or was in sports. He just seemed to be loved by everyone.
No, well said, well said. And definitely, you know, it didn't dawn on me until I think I spoke with somebody and they were trying to ask about who was going to be with us. And, you know, it really dawned on me. I said, well, you know, Fife would have been on with us tonight, you know. And
right.
Didn't know him, known him, you know, for pretty much maybe about 2-3 years. But in that time, man, you know, it just goes to show you don't need to know a person for a certain length of time, but it's just obviously the time that you spend getting to know them. And, you know, I'm really, really sad about it, and just really a difficult situation. And I think each and every single day it appears to get better, but it's just one of those nights where, you know, glad that you were available to be on here, because it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, him being a part of this process and knowing that, you know, the North Carolina Tar Heels are playing this upcoming weekend, and you got the NFL draft. So much going on. So it would have been really, really good. But that about wraps up the show tonight. And, Murph, give your bottom line for us.
Well, obviously, like we just talked about, you know, the passing of Fife Dog, obviously, you know, the show would not be the same without him. So I'll definitely miss that aspect. So like, my bottom line is that, you know, it's been a tough couple of weeks for myself and for you. But as always, you know, we just, you know, keep trucking along, and we have a lot of good sports to look forward to. So hopefully just us doing this is almost therapy in a way, and it's a lot of fun for us and a good way to just to forget about, you know, the bad parts of life for a bit and just talk for an hour and a half about the fun stuff. So I'm just always always glad to do that.
And I appreciate you, my friend. I always appreciate you, and I echo those same sentiments. We're all family, and I think it's during these tough times you find out, you know, who your real friends are, and it's always a pleasure to have family. And, you know, I echo those same sentiments. That route wraps up the show for tonight. It was hot and heavy, and like I said before, it came fast and furious. Started off with Fast Tire Hurt, CarolinaBlitz.com. Check that out. We also had on the show after that Cole Muzio of DraftTech.com. We had Rayshon Scott from the U, who's getting ready for his pro day tomorrow, joining us here on the Bottom Line Sports Show. Then you also had Western Kentucky Hilltoppers quarterback Brandon Dowdy, who just finished his pro day today, joining us. And last but definitely not least, Ricky Keeler joining us, talking some MLB. It should be an entertaining weekend upcoming. You still got the Golden State Warriors chasing that record of 73 wins, and it seems like each and every single day they're getting a step closer to really accomplishing that and breaking that. As well as we have the Final Four this weekend, we have MLB starting up. It should be a fun weekend. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, it's one of the few times, with the exception of football, the NFL per se, that you can have all the major sports. And I think it really happens a little bit later, where you have all the major sports really connecting, from baseball, basketball, and hockey, along with football now, that happen around the draft. For Eddie Murphy, I'm Gerald Brown. Thank you so much. Bottom Line Sports Show. We'll do it all over again next Tuesday. Bottom Line Sports Show is out. We say peace.
Yeah.